I want somebody to tell me how in the world we go forth into this world and tell the Mormons that they're Jewish Freemasons.
Or the Catholics.
And that the head of the Church of Rome is a Jewish Freemason.
It's true.
Yes.
There were no Jews as such back in the times of Emmanuel. Were they actually the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the time?
Yes.
And then that has just continued on and become called Judaism, but actually it's the same old Pharisees and Sadducees that were back then.
Yes, but on top of that came those tribes that were Khazarian. They were already there, and some had infiltrated. But what you had was the Pharisees merging in with the Khazarian tribes.
And they essentially started the Catholic religion and
yes.
story, which
yes.
then branched off into the other Protestant religions and was perpetuated in various forms of the same lie.
Yes.
What I want to know is, how did they holographic God and Jesus, supposedly that name, to Joseph Smith?
Who said they did?
That's the story they prepared.
I know.
But you know, I'll tell you something. In that Mormon church, they...
I'd like to hear it.
Better ask.
I asked.
They have manipulated their history so much that they go out and buy up any document. They'll put out thousands of dollars of any document that might put a shadow of doubt on any of that. B.H. Roberts wrote the history of the church, and he's the one that said how Joseph Smith saw God and Jesus Christ. And they've made it a very meticulous history.
That's right. Just like the Holocaust.
Yep. Just like the Holocaust.
Exactly.
Say one thing against it.
No. Or you're criticizing God. This is God's church.
Just like with the Catholics.
Are we back on, EJ?
We've been back on all the time.
Okay.
Dave number two.
It's him we better send home to bed.
Prayer. When you pray, you shall call upon the omnipotence of the Spirit. And you should not babble as do the ignorant and selfish, for they think that they are heard because they use many and grand words. The spirit of man does not require many words, but it requires the knowledge of its power. Pray, therefore, in knowledge to the almightiness of the Spirit, that its grandeur and power is infinite. If you do not know how to pray directly to the almighty power of the Spirit, then use instead something sacred, through which the almighty power of the Spirit can be reached within yourself. Therefore, pray as ones that know, and therefore you should pray thusly. A perfect prayer. My Spirit, you are omnipotent. Your name is holy. May your realm be incarnate in me. May your power reveal itself within me, on earth and in the heavens. Give me today my daily bread, and thus let me recognize my transgressions and errors, and I shall recognize the truth. And do not lead me into temptation and confusion, but deliver me from error. For yours is the realm within me, and the power and the knowledge forever. Amen. For when you pray to the Spirit, whatever you request will be given to you, if it is true, it truly is a desire. For believe with knowing, and you will receive. Spiritual poverty. If you believe in false teachings, namely that power and spirit do not dwell within you, then you will be without knowledge and live in spiritual poverty. Though you will receive now and then that which you will ask for in your false belief of alienated sanctuaries, idols, and gods, you will receive only by cause of your strong false belief, without knowledge of the real truth. For verily I say to you, blessed are only they who serve the real truth and knowledge, for only they are to receive in honesty. Rules to live by. Consider carefully the way you do your fasting, if you choose to fast. that you shall not appear cross like the hypocrites, for they disguise their faces so that they appear to be something because of their fasting. Verily, I say to you, they have no reward inasmuch as they fast only for selfish reasons, for the sake of appearance. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your countenance, lest you appear before the people with your fasting, but before your own spirit which is hidden. You fast for the sake of your health, the expansion of your spirit and knowledge and wisdom, and nothing else. Any other reason is self-indulgent and for the appearance to others. You shall neither amass great treasures on earth where they are eaten by moths and rust, and where thieves dig for them and steal them. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart, and the true treasure is wisdom and knowledge. When your earth journey is complete, you shall be separated from all earthly treasures, so you better build your treasures in the realms of heaven. The eye is the light of your body. If your eye is clear, then your entire body will be lighted. Vision goes beyond that which is witnessed by a sighted eye. If your eye is evil, your entire body will be most dark. If the light in you is dark, how great will the darkness be? Nobody can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will adhere to one and despise the other. You cannot serve your spirit and the mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do care about the knowledge of your spirit, about you, and about that which you eat and drink, and care about your body and that which you will wear. For it is not the spirit life and the body more important than all the treasures in the world. The spirit of man, which is thirsting for truth and knowledge, cannot preserve his earthly life without his body, for they serve the one. Man should take care to increase the knowledge of his spirit, care about the laws of life, and have concern with food, drink, and clothing on behalf of his body, which houses his spirit. But you shall not spend your time in concern of storing up great treasures, for you need them not. Behold the birds below the sky. They eat the harmful insects, and they have feathers as clothes, yet they have no spirit. They work because this is their duty, and they are fed and clothed by the creation. Are you not more than they? You can think independently through your free spirit and the great and wondrous thinking mind God has given unto you. You can work independently, and you can independently prepare food and drink and clothe your body, and it is your responsibility to do this for yourself. Behold the lilies in the marsh where they grow. They do not work, nor do they spin. Yet verily I say to you, the lilies also fulfill their duty by giving pleasure to the eye with their beauty. I say to you that Solomon in all his splendor was not clothed as any one of those blossoms. Should you not do so much more for yourself, since the creation sustains and clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the oven tomorrow? The grass fulfills its duty by serving as fodder and fuel. But you, of little faith, are you not much more than the grasses? Therefore, take care for the wisdom and knowledge of your spirit, and take care lest you suffer from lack of food, drink, and clothing. For verily I say to you, if you suffer from hunger, thirst, and nakedness, wisdom and knowledge are driven away because of worry for your mind, and you will not find freedom. Neither shall you neglect your own attention to caring for self, in that you depend upon another to supply these things to you, unless you are infirm and have an interval of inability to tend self. First and foremost, think of the realm of your spirit and its knowledge, and of comforting your body with food and drink and clothing. You must ensure respite, that the body not be fatigued into illness, and you should not remove responsibility from others, in that you perceive you should tend them when they can tend themselves. You should take care in your charity that it be worthy in its placement. You must also care for the following day, for tomorrow will not care for you by itself. It is enough that each day has its own cares, so that you should not have to worry about the needs of your physical well-being, but you should not dwell nor hoard, for the supplies will but rot and deteriorate. Take care in moderation and in expected need, but do not place such stress on the morrow that you do not use those things given unto you for the use of today. Then Emmanuel asked those gathered with him to consider judgment. Judge not falsely, lest you be falsely judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, so will you be judged, and with whatever measure you measure, so will you be measured. Therefore, judge accordingly to the logic of the laws of nature, which are from the creation, for they alone are true and accurate. What do you see but the splinter in your brother's eye? And are you not aware of the sliver in thine own eye? You hypocrite, first pull the sliver out from your own eye, and then see how you can pull the splinter out of your brother's eye. First, learn the laws of nature and of the creation, their logic, before you judge and want to see the mistakes of your fellow man. First, learn through the laws of nature and of the creation your own mistakes, so that you can correct the mistakes of your fellow man. You should never give sacred things unto the dogs, nor throw your pearls before the swine, lest they step on them with their feet and turn on you and tear you apart. For verily I say unto you, do not throw your spiritual treasures into the dirt, and do not waste them on those who are unworthy. For they do not thank you. They will tear you apart, for the understanding is small and their spirit is weak. Ask, seek, and the golden rule. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he who asks of his spirit receives, and he who seeks through the power of spirit finds, and he who knocks at the door of his spirit, to him it will be opened. Who is there among you who, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or, if he asked you for a fish, would you offer him a serpent? Therefore, if you, even though you are being wicked, can still give your children good gifts, how much more will your spirit give unto you if you request it? So be it. Everything that you would have people do unto you, also do that unto them. That is the law according to the prophets. Enter through the narrow portal, for the portal and the path leading to condemnation are wide, and there are many that walk thereon. And the portal and the path leading to life and knowledge are narrow, and there are only a very few that find it. Beware. Beware of false prophets and scribes who come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they are like raving wolves. They preach to you humility, to shrines, rituals, false deities, and gods, and preach to you of humility to idols and false teachings. Beware of those who forbid you access to wisdom and knowledge, and tell you to not go forth to hear what perhaps is truth. For they speak to you only to attain power over you and to seize your goods and belongings. Always search beneath the coverings to inspect that which they do not tell you, and further, check carefully those things that they extract from you. Truth and wisdom in truth are given with no price of treasure nor power of force. You shall recognize these ones by the fruit they bear. Can a person gather grapes from the thorns and figs from the thistles? Therefore, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a bad tree brings forth wicked fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth wicked fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Therefore, by their fruit shall you know them. Therefore, he who hears my speech and follows it is like a smart man who built his house on the rock. And he who hears this speech and does not follow it is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the flash flood rushed forth upon him and the strong winds were blowing against the house, it collapsed and fell. So be it that you who have wisdom to heed my words shall reap great unbounded rewards. And after Isu Emmanuel had finished his discourse, the people were stunned and shocked at his wisdom and knowledge, and were surprised at his teachings, for he spoke with total authority and severity of tone, a new teaching, and not as the other of their own scribes. They mumbled about among themselves in great wonder at this gentle man who spoke so emphatically of the truth, which was laden with reason and logic. Do you want me to finish your...
No, that's enough. I just like to hear it myself. Because you could spend a great many hours on each little topic. Makes it look like kind of a hard journey if you want to be godly. And it's not. It truly is not. You are the ones that hold the keys. You are the ones that know within. Once you come into that understanding and that recognition, you are the ones that can create your own journey. It's like the magic kingdom, though. You have to have the key. if you're going to do a magic trick, you have to know how to do it, or you fool nobody. And it's that coming into knowingness where the belief is there. One of the hardest things, and yet one of the things that I consider one of the greatest examples, is what Sandy does in the chiropractic world. If you're going to heal through touch, you've got to believe you can do it. We'll wait for him. Are you all right? Are you just playing with the...
I'm just playing.
With the toys.
I'm sorry, Commander.
Healing by faith. You watch the tricks. And many are healed even from the tricks. You get someone like, what is his name? Benny Hinn or Han Hinn? Hinn. On your Christian television station, and it's a true experience to watch him. And yet out of that, the man is genuine. And so many of the world's ills are right up there between the ears. They will twist you and bind you according to whatever kind of discipline you think you need. Illness is something that is so abused and misused. And yet you have an entire society trying to close you down physically through this mental path. I love it. The doctors say, oh, you don't need supplements. All you need are 3 balanced meals a day. Fine. Fine. Who does it? So the facts are you need supplements, don't you? If you're the ordinary human being. Oh, you mustn't eat junk food and fats. And then you are barraged with nothing. Say fat foods and the desire to eat junk food. They've got you programmed and they make it all but impossible for you to succeed. Well, hanging on to God is the easiest of all. You will do everything you can think of before you turn to God. You'll hide from him. You'll run from him. And always you'll end up getting into the gutter before you will stop an addiction of some kind. You allow yourself to become helpless when you hold the very key of creation in your hand. So I don't buy it. I don't buy it as truth when you whine about being unable to do something. I listen to you. I may even sympathize with you. And if you're physically ill, I will suggest that you attend it. But you don't have to be. Those are the choices you've made. And you're human, and you're going to go ahead and make those choices because that's what's presented to you. And they wrap it up in very pretty paper. And then they threaten. And then they literally do something so that they terrify and they produce fear. It's like the number of children missing. Or the crime statistics. They manipulate it so that you think every child is abducted. No. Think how many people you have And if everyone is making it to the news, there are hardly any then, are there? But it causes you to live in fear. And when they really want to stress it, they'll pick up some more children. So you have to be aware of what they're doing, and then you counter it by paying extra attention and keeping yourself encapsulated in light. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be days that you are terribly distressed, for goodness sakes. How can you possibly get this mission done without the impact of all that negative energy being thrust at you directly to stop you? You see, once the world knows the truth, the enemy is done for. And what he really is gambling on is that even though he will come around to meeting his commitments to the command, they are so confident that no one will listen to this. After all, this Sermon on the Mount varies from that other one. I am sorry that we don't have time for me to take up those little things. It doesn't say go hide from the world. It says get straight and then go live in the world. What you as parents may feel. This is what happens with one generation after another. My goodness. Again, all you've got to do is watch television sitcoms and talk shows. Is that what you want ruling your world? No, you'd rather have the committee of 300, I guarantee you, than the ones who come on the Ricky Lake show. These are the dropouts. These are the ones that are absolutely living for nothing but either pleasure, welfare. It is over and over and over again. And if you speak out against that, then you are a bigot. You're an anti-Semite. You are all of those things that they don't even know what mean. There is nothing over your body over which you do not have control. Let us speak of the homosexual, because that is going to be the biggie. I don't care who you are. That is your business. But don't tell me you're helpless. It isn't a misuse of sexual energy just in the homosexual community. That probably is least abused but does produce more disease than the misuse in the heterosexual community. It's misused. It is more sad to me that the assumption is that this is the only way to express love. Sex is for procreation, recreation. And I don't care if you use it for recreation, if you use it responsibly. But it's very hard to use it responsibly when you have two people, at least, who need to agree. That's what I mean by responsibility. And usually in a casual relationship, you don't have two people that can agree, really. One's either trying to trap the other or use the other or whatever. It is always a me situation. It's a game. A game that somebody needs to win. Love is giving. and it's misused as much or more in the heterosexual community. Just isn't as dangerous, or isn't it? What can you say about a little girl that gets pregnant and has to have abortions, etc.? That's murder. They cannot afford to hear the truth. What do I think about Kevorkian, I'm being asked by somebody in here who just killed somebody else? Well, actually, I don't think about Kevorkian. Dr. Death, he is no more Dr. Death than any abortionist. Those are executioners. And a person has a right to die with dignity. The problem that comes from it is that once you pass laws allowing it, all those other executioners are going to get in on the act. And you're going to have euthanasia. And that means that it's all right if you're suffering or someone else is suffering and you say, oh, well, they mustn't suffer anymore, I'll euthanize them, or whatever you would call it. Put them out of their misery. But how about if it's you and you change your mind? Well, let's all vote on it, and we vote for euthanasia, so let's just get rid of her. So there are so many aspects of life to be considered. And at this point, truth is the last thing that mankind, well, the last thing that they want mankind to hear, and it is the first thing that man wants to hear. He's confused. How many pages do you think the Friedman letter will require? Anybody in here?
Commander?
Yes.
What I did last week when our esteemed journalist, Mr. Sears, requested that we run the Friedman letter, it covers almost 70 pages in one of the journals. And so I put a very brief summary saying it was a good overview, as Mr. Sears had said, and then I referred them to those pages and in that particular journal. It's way too big to put in the paper, and I also referred them to the short version of the protocols and discussion of same, which we had recently run just several weeks before. So I'm trying to keep the paper small.
Very good. Very good. Then we won't have to handle it all at once then. Anybody want to ask me anything? I really am going to have to leave.
Excuse me while I turn the tape.